Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You would be stunned if we were to collect a list of all the incredibly famous people who were at one time held in prison, including a number of people in the Bible. I mean, you know, Abraham did time. In a way, Avi Steinberg also surprised by the people that he met in prison, including himself. He was recently graduated from college, had done his senior thesis about Bugs Bunny.
Well, that'll get you some time in the big house.
Was working as a freelance obituary writer and looking for a new direction for his career when he saw an ad on Craigslist for a prison librarian at the Suffolk County House of Corrections in Boston. He got the job pretty much immediately. And Avi Steinberg ended up writing about his adventures in the prison library in a book called Running the Books, The Adventures of an Accidental Prison Librarian. He joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, answer this question for us, which you answer in the book. Which class of criminal makes the best librarian?
Well, according to them, pimps make the best librarians. But I do qualify this. This is according to pimps themselves.
And what qualities do they think they bring to the job?
Well, they love to talk, and they're all about being able to talk wisely on any subject. So the library is really just a cornucopia of pimp knowledge. Also, they have, as I say, the love. They're passionate about the library and defending the library and being loyal to the library. It really fits their perspective of the world. Yeah.
Reading your memoir is really kind of a very eye-opening look inside a literally closed world that most of us know nothing about. And there's a couple things I wanted to kind of touch on. The first is that a prison library performs a different function inside a prison than it does in a school or a community. What does the prison library do inside a prison?
Well, I mean, it does so many things because there are so few institutions, so few things going on inside of a prison that it pretty much takes the place of a social center, a community center. So almost anything that happens in a communal sense happens in the library. So and one of the things that it functions as almost is like a pub, which is a funny kind of metaphor, but it's just a place where people gather to meet and talk and to, you know, see what's going on. It's a place to gossip. It's everything pretty much.
You taught creative writing classes in there also, and maybe one of the functions, the least notable function that you found was transforming the lives of these prisoners through books. That didn't happen, and maybe you expected it to.
Right. Well, I mean, it did happen, but it wasn't necessarily the main story. You know what I mean? It happened in some instances, and in some ways, those are the exceptions, and notable exceptions. Important to have that because if not for the library, those people might not have had any chance. So it's important. But still, most of the people are not there to necessarily be transformed or to transform themselves. And but nevertheless, they come to a library and spend a lot of time there. So what is that about exactly? Is the question?
Well, the question for me, Avi Steinberg, is all right. I'm in the joint, right? I murdered a couple of people. I'm a lifer. Okay. I spend when I'm not in the library, I'm actually lifting weights, so I can, you know, bench press about 250 pounds. All right.
Okay.
And Avi Steinberg is telling me about how I've got the book about Harley Davidson motorcycles out like a month late, and I better get it back in. How do you make the case that my book's late and that I better get it back in here or else?
Well, it's surprising, you know, you have more power than someone, even if they're really strong in prison. The power dynamic is a strange one. Here I come in, and my first week, I'm this, like, skinny little nothing, but I actually wield all this power. So it is a strange sort of dynamic. I think the good news is, for me at the time, is it wasn't really necessary because the currency isn't just muscles. It's also about respect. So if you give someone respect, they give it back to you, and there's no need for any kind of power struggle. But yeah, I did have to, like, I guess, watch my head a little bit.
What were the books that were most often checked out? I assume a lot of them were law books or people trying to learn about their appeals. But what were some of the books that got a lot of readers?
Well, I could tell you the most often requested book, and I say requested because we didn't actually offer this book, was Robert Greene's The 48 Laws of Power. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this book. It's sort of a evil self-help book. It's sort of like a modern adaptation of Machiavelli. So we did not offer that book. But that was every day, probably more than once a day, that was requested. Otherwise, mostly what the inmates called street books. These hip hop novels, these urban fiction, pulp fiction romances, very very popular. But all kinds of books, poetry, very popular, astrology, dream interpretation, books on real estate.
Art of War.
Art of War, yeah, very requested. Machiavelli himself, very, 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 very popular in there, yeah.
Your book is relatively dark. I mean, many of the people that you end up having connections with in the prison are not alive by the time that your book ends. And there's an incredibly compelling description that you give of a meeting that you have where you see a pimp and a prostitute out on the streets. These are people that you'd known in prison. Could you tell us about how that encounter occurred?
Yeah, I was just walking home from work one day, and I got off. I had a weird shift. I worked from 1 to 9, so I was at night, and I was going past a Dunkin' Donuts, and I heard a guy like knocked on the window and called me, and I recognized this guy from the prison. He's a pimp. So I probably made a mistake. I don't know if it was wise, but I went in to go just chat with him, say hello, and all of a sudden, I saw out of the bathroom coming this prostitute who had also been in the prison. The prison that I worked at had men and women completely separate. And I'd known each one of these people separately. I'd never seen them together. But seeing the pimp and his prostitute together really kind of startled me because I knew them both personally, but I didn't know them in their capacity as a pimp and a prostitute. And seeing them in that role with their clothes on and in the real world, you know, kind of jarred me because when you're inside the prison library, you know, you're meeting just a person who's coming into the library. When you're out there, you're meeting them on their own terms, and that was slightly startling. I mean, to some of your listeners, that might be like, okay, what did you expect? But somehow that was surprising to me because I had never seen them in that actual light.
And in fact, reading the book myself, it sounds like you went into the job telling yourself you were taking the job to get health benefits, but deep down inside, you did have expectations that the books might be transformative, that you might have some kind of role to play in turning these prisoners around, and you didn't. But the person who ended up getting it transformed was you.
That's true. Yeah, it definitely transformed me. I think I did have a naive view of it, but I think I left not thinking that I'd failed or whatever, or that these things don't work. It's just that it's not obvious how they do work. It's somewhat mysterious, you know. People come to you years later and say that really made a big effect on me, and you didn't know that it was happening. You just have to be there and allow for it, and maybe it will change, maybe it won't.
There's no sentimentality in your book. That's the amazing thing. I mean, you go in thinking of these people as potentially, you know, going the straight route. Right. Potentially he's a pimp. OK, but he could actually not be a pimp. But then when you see him on the outside, no, he's a pimp. It's Avi Steinberg who hasn't figured out what he's going to do when he grows up. Right.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I certainly had a lot to learn. And, you know, I think there's something beautiful about trying to offer someone in that situation these books. But, you know, you don't have the luxury of being sentimental in there. It's true.
Well, it's a great memoir called Running the Books, The Adventures of an Accidental Prison Librarian. Avi Steinberg, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
What book would you take out of a prison library if you were in?
A book on digging out.
Big, long novel. Head over to our site. You can also read about Between the Bars, a project that lets prisoners blog about their lives in prison. We talked about that earlier. There's more to read than here by heading to thetakeaway.org. While you're there, download our new Takeaway app. iPhone and iPad users, you can be a reporter for us. Forget WikiLeaks leaks. You can use the app to report on your commute. That's the first assignment. But anyway, go to thetakeaway.org and check it all out. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.